Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Do not forget, coming up January the 2nd, he's moving to Prime Drive Time is what I'm trying to say. We'll get it here in a second. 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Do not miss a second of Dr. Savage on the new time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, starting January the 2nd. You can go online to michaelsavage.com, find a lot of great stories that are posted there every day. We're using several of them in the show today. You can go to 855-400-SAVAGE on your phone, and I promise you, when you dial it, you'll actually get through to somebody. You know, we're not going to give you a recorded message that tells you to go to the website to sign up for something that you can't buy. This is how we work it. It really works at the Savage Nation. So you can call in at 855-400-SAVAGE. We appreciate everybody who does that. All right, let me tell you what we're doing this hour. Borders, language, culture, right? Dr. Savage talks about it all the time. Well, there's a big story coming out about what the illegal aliens are doing. They say they're tired of it. They're not going to stand for it anymore here in America, and they're demanding that they be on a path to citizenship. But didn't you come here illegally? Well, yeah. Aren't you working here illegally? Well, sure, but are you driving here illegally? Well, yeah. Are you taking people's ID to file Social Security? Well, maybe. But listen, we demand it because we have a right. How? How do you have a right to do any of that? Well, you don't care about it. You hate brown people. All right, we'll get into that in just a minute. That's always the fallback position. You're a racist. Nonsense. We'll get to it. Ben, you know, we just had the horrible government shutdown. I mean, I don't know how we got through it, but thank God the government's open again, and they're shutting down Thursday. What? Wait till you hear why. We'll get you that. At the bottom of the hour, I want to give you this story. There is a football coach in Texas who has been officially written up and is going to be officially investigated for bullying. But it's not what you think. And before the hour's out, police officer one, squirrel zero, or is it? It's all coming up this hour, The Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Dr. Savage. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. Let's start it. So, this is out of Politico. And I love how it's written now. I mean, words matter. So, we should actually tell the truth instead of, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. Yeah, no, it doesn't. We know what is means, okay? We understand it. But no, words matter. So when you say immigration activist groups have declared they will launch a week of escalation, no. If you want to write it accurately, illegal alien activists seeking amnesty for people who are in the country illegally are launching a week of escalation. That's what's going on. Look, immigration activists, it sounds like people that want to, fix our law. Well, that's what we want to do. No, you don't. No, you don't want to fix our law because you really don't want enforcement of our laws. What you really want is open borders. Well, only for the people you choose. That's what you really want. Listen, before we get any deeper into this, you don't know me. You don't know how much milk I put in my cereal. So let me give you just a little idea of where I'm coming from. And I share a lot of what Dr. Savage says on borders, language, and culture. Listen, I am a first-generation American. My mom came over from Great Britain after World War II. My grandfather died flying for the Royal Air Force against the Nazis. Okay, so my mom and my grandmother came over with my great-aunt who married an American serviceman. But they did it the right way. See, when they came over, they lived in my great-uncle's basement. My grandmother took in sewing and laundry to make money until she got a job at the General Motors plant in Pontiac, Michigan. And then she worked there till the day she retired. And my grandmother never told me, and my mom never told me, that I was an English American. They never told me I should be more in touch with my English roots than I was my American roots. They told me I was an American. My grandma and my mom became naturalized American citizens. They never took one penny from any government program. And if they needed help, my great uncle would have taken care of them until they could have gotten up on their feet because he was their sponsor. See, that's how it's supposed to work. They came in legally. They worked hard. And they became American citizens, and they saw themselves as Americans. Sure, my grandma and mom went back to England a few times. I've been to England to see some of my relatives, and I love it. They're nice people, and it's a great country. But I'm an American. Thank God. So I love the idea of legal immigration in this country. But we get to decide who comes. We get to decide how many. We get to decide all those things because it's our country. Because we can't take everybody, because there are 5 billion people on this planet poorer than the people in Mexico. We cannot take everybody. And we should have the right to choose who comes. And what I'm worried about here, see, I don't care about whites becoming a minority in the United States of America. I don't care about skin color. I care about Americans becoming a minority in the United States of America. And I mean that in every sense of the word. Americans who are citizens. Americans who actually understand what America stands for and what it was founded upon. Americans who actually are in favor of those founding principles. Americans who believe in freedom and responsibility, in self-reliance, in the Judeo-Christian values that founded the nation. If those people become the minority, we're in trouble. And unfortunately, I see it happening. Because we're having so many millions come in from the third world who were raised in a socialist, communist type of atmosphere and upbringing that they don't know any better. And when people come to them with these handouts, they think that's what government's supposed to be. That's what worries me. I'm worried that the melting pot is going away and that we're becoming the Balkanized states of America. That's what worries me. And that's why borders, language, and culture are so important. So these guys, these illegal alien activist groups, according to Politico, they are escalating their pressure to force amnesty, which they call immigration reform. And they're going to do civil disobedience to do it. And some of these groups have already been doing it. We've been telling you about it. It's been on the MichaelSavage.com website. And another story off that from last week. Fox News Latino was reporting that illegal alien activists in San Francisco surrounded a U.S. Homeland Security bus to protest deportations. They blocked the bus. It was carrying illegal aliens to be deported. And they started shouting, you ready? Undocumented, unafraid. Undocumented, unafraid. Didn't they used to at least rhyme? Can we get them to rhyme again? I always liked those a lot better. You know? Oh, hey, hey, ho, ho. President Obama's got to go. Hey, hey. You know, those are good. Let's get the rhymes back. Mr. Cochran, where are you now? He's dead. The glove didn't fit. I'm sorry. That's a cheap shot. I liked his rhymes. So they're saying undocumented, unafraid. Jesse Jackson was good. Remember Jesse Jackson with the rhymes? He hasn't done it as much lately, but it was like, we should not be worried about the Caribbean. We should be worried about the human being. I mean, those work. Undocumented, unafraid. So think about this. So we have people surrounding the bus who are here illegally. And they're chanting that they're here illegally and they're unafraid. Why? Because we don't do anything. Every single one of those people should have been arrested and deportation proceedings should have started. You are in this country illegally. That's not good enough for you. You think now you have the right to break our laws and stop us from enforcing our laws. The chutzpah on this is unbelievable. They taped a hot pink sign under the bus that said, shut down ICE. Why hot pink? Well, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. See, now they're trying to help. I don't think it had anything to do with that. How do you know? It could be. It's hot pink. Hot pink. Just like the NFL's wearing in their football games. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Shut down ICE, they put up there. Well, the Homeland Security officials confronted them, threatened to press felony charges if they didn't move. Well, they didn't. And they didn't. Strong letter to follow. We told you. We're telling you again. A couple were arrested and later released. Why? Why? Now listen, I always hear this straw man argument.
Well, some of you people want to just round up 12 million people and deport them, and we don't have the buses or the manpower to do that. It's just so stupid. We've got to start putting them on a path to citizenship. That's all we can do.
Nobody is saying we have to round up 12 million. What you do is enforce the law. And when you come in contact with illegal aliens during enforcement of the law, then you deport those. But you enforce the law by going after employers who are the magnet on this side, using E-Verify. Because some of these employers, unfortunately, are doing this on purpose. But once you fine them $10,000 per illegal alien that is working for them, and on the second offense of knowingly, willfully hiring illegal aliens because E-Verify shows it, then you take away their business license, it's no longer worth it for them to take the risk to hire illegal aliens. If illegal aliens don't have a job here because they can't find work because of E-Verify, if we actually, you know, enforce the law that said you cannot rent an apartment or sell property to an illegal alien, so you don't have a place to live, you don't have a place to work, the vast majority are going to go home on their own. And in a generation, if you actually enforced the border and enforced our laws, you wouldn't have the problem anymore. It would go away. But instead, we're doing this. The activists say that protests will be more frequent and more in your face. Their goal is amnesty for 12 to 20 million illegal aliens. And they're using a Republican mega donor, Paul Singer, with George Soros on the left to finance this, to put pressure on Congress. And the evangelical immigration table. They're all working together. Now, here's the thing. It's pretty simple. The Republicans want cheap labor. The Democrats want cheap votes. And unfortunately, some churches have become misguided into this ridiculous social justice nonsense, which is really socialism. But what about justice for our citizens? What about justice for our legal immigrants? What about justice for those waiting in other countries to legally come over? What about that justice? What about the low-skilled worker who's going to have his wages decreased because of this? This is from the Fair Immigration Reform Movement. Fair? Really? What's fair about allowing people to come into the country illegally and jump the line? What's fair in allowing them to steal people's Social Security numbers in order to work somewhere? What's fair in allowing them to drive illegally without insurance on the roads? What's fair about all that? Listen, I understand wanting to come to this country if you're in a poor country. I get that. I'd want to come here too. Absolutely. But you got to do it the right way. You got to do it legally. And then God bless you, and I wish you all the best. Love your thoughts on it. We'll get it to you in just a second and take your phone calls. And then I want to get into why Congress is closing down Thursday, even though the government's back open. Huh. Oh, yeah, it'll cost you some money. We'll get into it in just a minute. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. You can join in at 855-400-SAVAGE or michaelsavage.com. We were talking about, you know, borders, language, and culture. Because we've got these illegal alien groups now that say, we're not taking it anymore. We're going to escalate. We're going to do more civil disobedience. We're going to stop police officers from doing their jobs when they come in contact with illegal aliens. Because we're tired of families being separated. Well, but you chose to come here illegally. And then you chose to have a family here. And then when you get deported, you could take your family with you.
Well, that, but no, we can't do that. That's a,
Well, wait a second now. So all of a sudden, it's our fault that you chose to break our laws repeatedly. And all the people who are waiting legally, too bad for them, right? No, that doesn't cut it. Oh, meanwhile, watchdog.org just put this out. They followed up on the Internal Revenue Service documents. Even though they, you know, stalled Tea Party groups from getting their nonprofit status for years, the IRS has sent $4.2 billion in child credit checks to illegal aliens. Wow. Senator Charles Grassley, Republican Iowa, says, the law needs clarification that undocumented immigrants are not eligible.
Really? We need qualification for that?
Grassley co-sponsored a clarifying amendment with Senator Mike Enzi, Republican Wyoming, but of course Harry Reid wouldn't let it go through. What a shocker.
I don't know where that would have come from.
Let me get Peter, line 7, WABC, on. Peter, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg, great opening comments. Similarly, why is nobody going after Obama for changing Obamacare? I accept the fact that it's the law of the land, but why do I have to accept the fact that he can defer the employer mandate, that he can issue hundreds of exemptions, the fact that he can say, well, you know what, we trust you that you should get a subsidy, and then he says, okay, you know, we won't trust you anymore, but our tie into the IRS system will take a couple of years, so we won't be
Peter, you're dead on. Listen, this is what drives me crazy with the media going on with this. Well, it's the law of the land. Obamacare's the law of the land. Yeah, well, then how come he keeps getting to change it unilaterally, which, by the way, is illegal? And it goes to this, what we're talking about with illegal immigration. Well, the law of the land is that these people are breaking the law and they should be sent back. So why isn't the media saying, well, these Democrats are trying to change the law of the land? President Obama is trying to change the law of the land. Because they want it changed, so then it's okay. We change the law of the land all the time. No Congress is held to what the previous Congress has done. We could change any law, as long as we don't change it unconstitutionally, at any time in any Congress. Guess what? Obama's already unilaterally, illegally changed this law. Remember? He couldn't get the DREAM Act through Congress, so he did his own. He went around Congress. Remember? We can't wait. So he went around Congress illegally and has done it on his own. I've had Congress people on the show, and I said, well, why won't you impeach him for violating his oath to office of violating the law? The law says that these people, this shall happen, and this shall happen, and this shall happen for illegal aliens. He goes, nope, I'm going to grant them legal residence. I'm going to grant them a legal work permit. I'm going to do it all on my own if they meet the criteria I set up in my so-called DREAM Act. He has no authority to do that. But he's doing it because Congress lets him. It's a shame. And it's got to stop. Let me get Rich on line 9 in Sacramento. Rich, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp in for Michael. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks, Rich. I wanted to make a comment. When I lived in Panama, actually, I lived there for a few years, and there's a lot of commerce with the canal and all that. I actually leased or gave my Social Security number to an individual who worked there, and myself, I'm profiting because of his work.
Wow, you're proud of this, Rich? Wow. Oh, we're going to talk about that in a second. So this guy is enabling illegal aliens in America. Rich, you stink. This is Greg Knapp for Savage and the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. You can go to michaelsavage.com for more stories, and you can call us at 855-400-SAVAGE to be on the broadcast. We were talking about the illegal alien situation, and we had a caller that said, Greg, yeah, when I went and worked out of the country, I just let somebody else use my Social Security number, and it's making me money. Well, it can also get you in prison for doing that. And it will also, could also come back to bite you, actually, when you file your full income taxes, and it has the two different amounts. And here's the other thing. It's wrong. Unbelievable. And by the way, it is, people are having their Social Security numbers stolen here in America by illegal aliens, and it's causing them all kinds of problems with the IRS. It's not good stuff. Hang in there. I'm going to talk to you some more about it, but I also want to get this other story to you. A couple other ones out there. Congress is going to shut down Thursday. I thought they just went through the whole government shutdown and it's open again. Well, yeah, but hold on. Okay, this is a big deal. Okay, listen. Representative C.W. Bill Young, Florida Republican, served 43 years in Washington, D.C. He has now died. He died on Friday. Sad for him and for his family. However, 43 years, way too long to be a politician. He was 82. He was 82 years old, okay? He was the senior Republican in the House. So Congress is shutting down on Thursday so that they can go to his funeral, but they're not going to pay for their own flights. Oh, no, no, no. They're going to use a military aircraft. Wait, what? Yes! There'll be no floor votes, and the committee meetings have been canceled, except for the one on the Obamacare rollout, but they've decided that they're going to use a military transport plane to get down to the funeral. Pentagon spokesman wouldn't say how much it will cost to fly them to Florida. How many? All 435 of them? No, all of them won't be going. They all can't fit in one plane. Two planes? I don't know. Says we are currently evaluating options for support. Because no aircraft has been designated this time, I can't provide any additional information on cost. Isn't that nice? That's Commander Bill Irvin. So we're going to shut down the government for a day, and then we're going to spend all this money to fly the people that... why can't they fly on their own to the funeral? They got money. I mean, if they really care about this guy that much, they should pay out of their pocket. No, no, this is official business. No, it's not. It's not official business. You should have to pay for it. Oh, this, of course, comes on the heels of part of the government shutdown and debt deal was a $174,000 payment to the widow of Senator Frank Lautenberg. He died earlier this year. So they're going to give him, the widow, his yearly salary as basically a death benefit. The guy, Senator Frank Lautenberg, his estate is estimated to be more than $50 million. What? Why does he even need $174,000? What are they talking about? By the way, they think they're going to do the same thing for Representative C.W. Bill Young's widow. Now listen, I have no problem wanting to support somebody, okay? But here's the thing. First of all, the guy was 82. Do you think maybe they have some retirement saved? If not, what was he doing? He was making $174,000 for years. He's been in D.C. for 43 years. He's been making the equivalent of that, adjusted for inflation, for 43 years. I think you could put some money away, don't you? Didn't he have any life insurance? Well, he's 82. I don't know if he gets anything off that. You know, he's 82. All right, well, here's an idea, okay? Because what I'm tired of is liberal compassion. Here's what liberal compassion is. You and I are walking down the road, and we see a homeless guy in the gutter, and you turn to me and say, hey, give me your wallet. I want to help that guy. No, 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 no. If you want to help that guy, you reach into your wallet. That's how you help somebody, and that's how you value your compassion. But that's not what the liberals do. They reach into your pocket to, quote, help somebody. Half the time, it doesn't even help anybody. But they reach into your pocket to do it. Now, listen, it's not compassionate to use other people's money. If Congress wants to help the widow of Representative C.W. Bill Young, here's what they do. Each one kicking $1,000 out of their personal income. And they just gave the widow $435,000. Right? 435 times 1,000. I'm not a genius, but that's $435,000. And that's compassion. And that comes out of their pocket. But no, they want to take it out of yours. That's how our government works. I can't stand it. It just drives me nuts. All right, I want to get some more of you talking about this illegal alien thing where they're going to escalate their pressure on Congress for amnesty and civil disobedience. Let me get Minio on, line 6. Minio, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knappin for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Hey, your comments about your parents coming over and you being a first generation from your parents. My grandparents came over in about 100 years ago, Italians from Italy, and never took any entitlements, never were asking for handouts, worked as hard as anybody, probably menial jobs. And they also, made sure that we grew up American. They refused to make us
Italian. I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I was just saying amen, because that's the point, right, is that you're supposed to become American.
Not only... I grew up not even eating Italian food that is so kind of cherished today.
Oh, I was going to say, that's a shame, man. If your grandparents from Italian, I mean, come on. You got to eat the Italian food. I want the Italian food, and I'm from America.
Well, I mean, I kind of learned more about Italian food as I grew up because my parents and my grandparents did everything to be American, including eating the way, eating steak and potatoes and everything else, and also making sure that we got educated and paid for those educations. I paid for my college delivering newspapers and driving a truck.
So let me ask you, Minio, because you have a somewhat similar experience to what happened to me. To me, since you've had that experience, which I think was exactly the way it's supposed to happen, so how does that make you feel about people demanding to come here illegally?
Let me tell you something else. After I graduated Fordham, I applied to law school. I was about a strong B+, better than average student, and I didn't get in because of equal opportunity. The kid next to me was a C+ student. He was Hispanic. He got in. And, I never asked for anything, but I also would have liked to be treated equally.
Amen, brother. Hey, thanks for the call, and thanks for what your grandparents did. And that was the big thing, become American. Hey, if I move my family to China tomorrow, we're going to be learning Chinese. We're going to be eating Chinese food. We're going to be doing everything we can to fit in to being Chinese if that's what we decided to do. right? Now, the other thing that I thought Minio said that was very interesting, he said, we didn't take any welfare. Now, you think about that, because a lot of people say, well, you know, everybody used to be an illegal alien. No, 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 no. Our laws were different, you know, 100 years ago or more, where we didn't have as strict immigration proceedings in terms of who could come in and who couldn't. In one part of that, but in another part of that, we were stricter in terms of, you know, testing for illnesses and other kind of problems. But guess what? When you came in 150 years ago to this country, there was no welfare. There was no Medicaid. There were no food stamps. There were none of these special programs for you. You either sank or swam time. Sink or swim time. That was it, right? A lot different now. Here, let me get Donna in. WMAL, line 5. Donna, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. You're doing a great job. And I just want to tell you, the caller who spoke earlier infuriated me to no end because my grandparents came in from communist countries. My grandmother was 16 and traveled alone through Ellis Island, scrubbing floors for a living to build a life for my family. And when I hear a caller who has no respect for law and honor do what he's done to our country, it is so infuriating, it's enough to light your hair on fire. And I want to say to people like him, you know, if you can't respect the law, leave. We don't need any more lawless people. We've got enough of that with our politicians.
Thank you, Donna. Donna's talking about the man who sold his Social Security number, well, rented it out while he was out of the country to an illegal alien to help him break our law and thought it was a great idea. Yeah, I can understand the animosity there. Absolutely. That is, it's inexcusable. It really is. Jeanette, line 2, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I hear you talking about the illegal, and Michael Savage is always talking, which is right, about borders, language, culture. But if our own government, if our leaders are supporting anything illegal, why are we even paying taxes? This is how we're just paying for our own demise. I mean, the Pledge of Allegiance says one nation under God. And then our nation is all about the law. And our laws come from the Bible, as a matter of fact. That's how our country was founded.
Well, many of them do, and from the principles of the Judeo-Christian values. And thanks for the call, Jeanette. And, you know, you do bring up an interesting point. If our government continues to violate their oath to the Constitution and violate the laws, then, you know, what right do we as citizens have to stop it? You know, it's a great question. What can we do about it? And we keep saying vote, 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 and we're like, well, we keep getting these bums in. And that's when people talk about, you know, impeachment, or they talk about suing, or they talk about a type of revolution. And I'm certainly not ready for any kind of armed revolution, but I sure would like to see a revolution in who we send to D.C. and a revolution in the way that we law-abiding people abide by the laws that are just, that are real under the United States Constitution. And practice true civil disobedience against unjust laws, like when they tried to shut down the World War II Memorial. That's different than the civil disobedience these people are trying to do against just laws that give us our borders. Yeah, I got to get you this story about a football coach in Texas being accused of bullying. Wait till you hear why, though. It's not what you think. Hit it in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, my name is Greg Knapp, filling in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. Don't forget, January the 2nd, starting at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. The new time for the Savage Nation, drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Do not miss a second. Go to michaelsavage.com for more on it and 855-400-SAVAGE to get you in. I've got the illegal immigration topic out there. I also have how we're wasting money in Congress, and I've got this one. Texas high school football's huge. You know about Friday Night Lights. I lived in Texas for 5 years. Let me tell you something, man. That is true. It is huge in Texas. All right? Well, the coach of a Texas high school football team has now been accused of bullying because his team won 91-0.
What? That's outrageous.
A parent has filed a formal complaint online. And see, the school system where they live says that if you file a formal complaint, that it must be investigated. That's a law. They must investigate it. So, the football coach is going to be investigated.
Well, it should be 91-0.
Now, hold on a second. This team is just really good. They're 7-0. They're averaging 69.3 points a game. The average difference in the scores in their games is 77 points above what the other team scores. That's the average. And then how do they average 69.3 points? I don't know. I'm just reading it to you, okay? And the coach says, well, here's the thing. We are trying to be as fair as we can and not rub it in. The parent who complains, no. This is unbelievable. The unnamed parent lists both football teams as the victims of the bullying. The Aledo High School coaching staff as the offenders. Says everyone in the football stadium was a witness to Coach Buchanan and his staff's unsportsmanlike conduct. We all witnessed bullying firsthand. It is not a pretty sight. I did not know what to say on the ride home to explain the behavior of the Aledo coaches for not easing up when the game was in hand. Okay, but wait a second. Here's what really happened. The coach took his starters out after only 21 plays. They kept to a conservative ground game after that. He put in his backup starting in the second quarter. He then put in his third string players. And after halftime, the entire second half, they played on a running clock. The time never stopped no matter what. What were they supposed to do? Take a knee? They weren't throwing the ball. They were running. Were they supposed to tell these kids not to play hard anymore?
Yeah, they should have told them to not play as hard.
That's how you get hurt in football. If you're going to play, you play hard. By the way, I like what the coach said here. I'm not going to tell a kid that comes out here and practices 6 to 7 hours a week trying to get ready for football games, hey, you can't score a touchdown if you get in. You're going to have to take a knee. Because that may be the only touchdown that kid gets to score in his entire high school career. See, and he's right. What he's talking about is the backups. I played basketball for my high school. Let me rephrase. I sat the bench for basketball in high school, okay? And I worked my butt off in practice all the time. So when I did get to go in, when it was mop-up duty, the coach didn't tell me, okay, Greg, you can go in, but just dribble around and never shoot. He's like, go in there and play your hardest because you've earned it. Go in there and play. And that's what these kids get to do. They shouldn't have to go in and take a knee. Why would you punish them? And you know what this really comes down to? We're afraid that we're going to hurt these kids. Let me tell you, I've been on the losing ends of some basketball games, some pretty bad ones. But what would have hurt me more is if they would have called the game. Oh, let's call the game. You're up by 30 points. It's too much for these kids to handle. I'm like, no, let us keep playing. Let's see what we can do. I want the challenge. But what we're doing now is we're raising generations of wimps in this country.
91-0. Poor little Johnny might feel bad. We got to stop the game now.
That is an option, by the way. There is no mercy rule in 11-man football in Texas, but there's an option for the coaches to agree not to play. Now, that to me would be embarrassing. To be to the point that the other school says, hey, listen, we know we've crushed you so badly. Let's just call the game now. No, I'm going to play till the last whistle blows. And it's also not fair to the kids that want to play. Look, you only get, what, 10, 11 football games a high school season if you don't go to the playoffs? And you work so hard to have each one of those Friday nights, let them play. And let them realize sometimes you win in life, sometimes you lose, sometimes you're outmatched. But you know what? You need to try as hard as you can. And if you want to get better, go work harder. Practice harder. Learn from this experience.
Well, you can't win. You can't learn anything from 91-0.
Oh, sure you can. Absolutely you can. You can go into that tape room and say, see right there, see how that guy really made a move on you there. Oh, see how you were in a different kind of zone coverage there in the secondary and he shredded you there? You got to step up. You can learn all kinds of stuff. So this is a coach, by the way, the opposing coach that got killed, 91-0. He told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, he doesn't believe it was bullying at all. He said, you know, I think they did what they could do. I don't see how else they could have backed off any more than they did. He said, I know Coach Buchanan. He's a good guy. So this is one parent who thinks he or she is helping. I think they're really hurting. And this is something that's killing this nation. The wussification of America continues. Driving me nuts. Hey, let me get David in from WMAL on the whole illegal alien thing and the illegal aliens saying it's time for more civil disobedience. David, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead. Line 6. Hey, David. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I don't think it's time for more civil disobedience. That's not the point that I was making. The point that I'm making is, you know, you're challenging the legality of Obamacare, and at the same time, you're challenging the increase in civil disobedience from the illegals in this country. And I'm assuming that you're doing this based on what you think the constitutionality of both of them is, right?
That's part of it, sure. Yeah, Obamacare, I believe, is unconstitutional. I believe the Supreme Court is wrong on that. But I've not called for civil disobedience on Obamacare. I've called Congress to change Obamacare.
Right.
That's a little different. And the illegal aliens, they're not living by our law. They came into the country illegally, and now they're saying it's civil disobedience? Civil disobedience is supposed to be against unconstitutional, unjust laws. What in the world is unjust about enforcing our borders? See, you're acting like because I believe that civil disobedience is good sometimes, that it has to be good all the time. No. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for the doctor on The Savage Nation. You can join in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com is the website. Don't forget, Dr. Savage will be doing his show from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, prime drive time, starting January the 2nd. Don't miss a second of it. This hour, I want to get you just how low the Democratic Party has sunk now in trying to raise money. Then I want to tell you about why Obamacare hates the Hispanic man. Jay Carney ducking some pretty good questions at the White House press briefing today. And the TSA is now screening you even before you show up at the airport. All that coming up this hour on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's jump into it. So do you know who Alan Grayson is? Alan Grayson is a Democratic congressman from Florida. And he was a congressman, then he lost, and now he's won again. And this guy is a loose cannon. And this guy likes to do shock congressman work. I don't even know how to say it. Like a shock jock, he's a shock congressman. And he's the guy that went on the White House floor when Obamacare was first being debated. And he even had charts, okay, and he had posters. So you can't say that this was just in the heat of the moment. He said the Republicans don't want you to have health care. Here's what their plan would really be. Their plan is don't have health care, and then he pulled out the chart, the poster said, and don't get sick. And there were big words, don't get sick. And then he said, if you do get sick and die. And there was a poster with the words, get sick and die. That's what he did on the House floor, okay? So this took some effort. Somebody had to make the posters, okay? So this was not a heat of the moment. This is what he thought was civil discourse on the House in D.C. Well, he lost and then he won again. Now he's back, and he's been all over the news, and he's been calling the Tea Party the KKK and saying all kinds of crazy stuff about him. Well, now he is using one of his appearances on that network that shall not be named to go after the Tea Party. And what he has is he's got a picture of a cross burning with Klansmen in the background, and the T in Tea Party is the burning cross. Stay classy, Democrats. Stay classy. The T is a burning cross from the KKK, and the rest of the words Tea Party are airbrushed in or photoshopped in, but they look like they're burning too. Dear friend, shortly after the Republican shutdown default crisis ended last week, Representative Grayson gave this very pointed analysis to the Tea Party. And it goes in him saying the Tea Party is no more popular than the Klan. Says they're the Tea Party, they come to the president saying, if you don't let us steal your car, then we're going to burn down your house. They simply want to bring around the end of days. So this guy, it's the same old from the Democrats, that if you disagree with them, you're a racist. And now if you disagree with them, you're a Klansman. I've been to an awful lot of Tea Party rallies. Never once did I hear a racial slur. Never once did I see anybody do anything remotely racist. Grayson says, oh yeah, well they say that Obama may have been born in Kenya. Okay, how is that racist? I mean, I don't believe it. I mean, I've seen the birth certificate. I think it's a stupid thing to even talk about anymore. But hey, what does that have to do with being racist? Nothing. Nothing. By the way, when the Democrats were running around with pictures of President Bush dressed up as Hitler with a little Hitler mustache, that's okay. But to make fun of President Obama in any way means you're a racist. How is it that I didn't like Jimmy Carter because of his policies? I didn't like Bill Clinton because of his policies. I didn't like some of the things George W. Bush did, some of his policies. I didn't like some of the things George H.W. Bush did. But the only time I'm a racist is when I don't like President Obama's policies. Well, because that president's black. That changes everything. Actually, he's the president who identifies as black. Right? I mean, that's how we really should be referring to him if we're going to be accurate in the media, because you remember George Zimmerman. One Hispanic parent, one white parent, and how did the media refer to him? George Zimmerman, who identifies as Hispanic. Right? I mean, he's not Hispanic anymore. He's somebody who identifies as Hispanic. All right, then I guess President Obama is President Obama, who identifies as black. Right? No, that's racist. How? It's not. Listen, this is what the left does and what the media does to try to shut you up. Because the biggest insult in America is that you're a racist. For most people, being called a racist is pretty much the biggest insult that's out there. Because none of us want to be racist. Now, here's the thing. If you know who you are, it doesn't work on you. I know who I am. I know I'm not racist. You can call me that all you want. It doesn't do anything to me. Because I know you're an idiot. And I know that you have run out of arguments. So you got to start calling me a name. And it's not going to change one item of what I say. Because I know who I am. And that's what we've got to start understanding, is you've got to know who you are and not let them cow you into silence by calling you a name. You know, this is how crazy it's gotten. Ted Cruz was simply talking about, you know, he went back to Texas. He'd been gone for a while. He was working hard in D.C. He was actually trying to stand up for what he believes in. And when he gets back to Texas, he went in front of some of his supporters. And do we have this, guys? I can't remember if we have that. Yeah, let's hear what Ted Cruz said to his supporters.
Having spent the past month up in D.C., it is really great to be back in America.
And, you know, thrills over there, tingles over there, whatever you want to call them over on that network that shall not be named. Well, he gets on and he starts saying that that's racist. That this is the McCarthy era. That this is basically saying, you know, D.C. is not really America because it's an inner city and it's got a lot of black people. But now that I'm back in Texas with all these white people, I'm back to the real America. Okay, tingles is, wow, has he lost it. This is where liberalism is a mental disorder, like Dr. Savage talks about, because have you been to Texas? I lived there 5 years. It's not a bunch of white people. It probably has more Hispanic people than any country in the nation, except maybe California. It is a big-time melting pot of people in Texas. And he wasn't saying D.C. isn't America because there are black people there, you moron. He was saying D.C. isn't really America because it's caught in its own inside the Beltway bubble, where these politicians think that the world really revolves around their
minutiae process that they do on the House and the Senate floor and what President Obama does, and that it's all up to them and that they run the country, when the rest of us realize that what they're doing, they're a bunch of morons. And they're caught up in their little inside the beltway intrigue and process and what this politician said and this one and how's this going to sell politically and what I should do with this consultant and am I wearing the right tie and should I put my hair differently and should I put my flag up on my lapel here or there to get people to vote for me. That's what he means. For people that don't think $17 trillion in debt is anything to worry about, that's what he means. For people who think that you should be able to force people to buy a product they don't want, that's what he means by saying it's good to be back in America. Back to people that actually get up and go to work every day in a real job. People who actually really make the country run. The people who drive the trucks. The people who make the bread. The people who farm the land. The people who put up the electricity poles. The people who actually go to work every day and work as a secretary or work as an accountant or work as a doctor or work as a lawyer or work as a teacher. The people who actually go out and do real work. That's what he means about being back in America. But see, if you call him a racist, maybe you can shut him up. So if we can say the Tea Party people are the KKK, then we can make it so people won't want to join them. Then we can make it so people won't listen to them. Then we can marginalize them. Then we can dehumanize them. Then we can vilify them. This is Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. I don't know why the Republicans won't read it and start using it. Because it works. They've been using it on them for 50 years. You isolate your target. You vilify it. You demonize it. They're on the side of the devil. We're on the side of angels. Obama's been doing it from the day he got in. Maybe it's time to start playing the same game. Maybe it's time to start fighting fire with fire. Do you think? Meanwhile, on the Obamacare agenda, I love this. Cut one here. Mara Liasson from NPR. She says, you know, in the past when you've had a natural disaster or an oil spill, generally there's somebody in charge. I guess Jeff Zients is going to be that person. Is he going to be taking over a kind of briefing role where he answers questions? So what's going on here is Jay Carney won't answer questions about the Obamacare website. He keeps saying, well, you have to talk with HHS about that. But nobody over there will talk to us. Well, but that's not my role. I don't. So they keep, well, is the website working? Well, that's not my role. Is it going to be working? I don't know. When? I don't know. Are they going to have to pay for it if they can't buy one? Well, we're not going to talk about that. You know, he just won't answer the questions. So here's Mara Liasson comparing it to when there were natural disasters where they had to appoint a point person to talk to the media, somebody who really knew what was going on. So this is getting good. Now the mainstream media and even NPR is starting to compare Obamacare's rollout to a natural disaster. Here's Jay Carney's answer.
I think he's providing management advice and consultation, but for more details about his role, because he's being brought on by HHS, I would refer you to HHS. I don't think this is a man-made. I mean, this is not a natural disaster.
Well, no, I know that. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, in terms of one of the...
Did you hear that in the background? Everybody in the press corps starts laughing when he says, I don't think this is a natural disaster. And somebody in the press says, an act of God. If it's an act of God, there's people going to be losing their religion. Go ahead. It was awesome. I mean, this is just getting too funny. And there was another one where Carney, at the end of this, Carney's walking away. A woman, by the way, it was a black female reporter that Jay Carney walked out on. Why is Jay Carney a racist, and why is he part of a war on women? So this black woman is asking this question to Jay Carney, and he's walking out. He won't even turn around and talk to her. It's clip 9.
Watched anyone without insurance go through the website trying to help this situation?
Couldn't we have a rep just come to the press briefing?
He's just walking away.
How much would that cost taxpayers?
All right, hard to hear at the end, okay? But Jay Carney's walking away, and the original lady that asked the question, some guy goes, well, hey, maybe you can just go online. He's kidding around. She goes, well, how much would all that cost? And he goes, it won't cost anything because it doesn't work. So these are reporters now, mainstream reporters, making total fun of this Obamacare rollout that's really more like a steamroller. Oh, yeah, it's a rollout, all right. We've been rolled right out.
855-400-SAVAGE gets you on. 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm going to take your phone calls on this in just a second and talk to you about the TSA screening you now, even before you get to the airport. We'll hit it. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
How you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. We were talking about this Democratic Congressman Grayson in Florida. Now, why is it that the Democrats can do something like send out an email to raise funds using a burning cross at a KKK rally as the tea in Tea Party, and nobody worries what the moderates think?
Oh, the people in the middle of the road, they might not vote for Democrats now because those Democrats have crossed the line. I mean, that's just too far.
But if a Republican says anything even remotely close to offensive, there they go. They're losing the moderates. It just shows you how crazy and extreme they are. Have you ever noticed that? It's starting to get on your nerves. And then, of course, the Obamacare mess continues. I mean, I got all kinds of stories on this. I mean, Rubio is talking about delaying the mandate. Enrollees still, of course, having a horrific time getting in. The NFL now is being paid money. Baltimore Ravens, over $100,000 to try to promote Obamacare. Thousands of people's insurance plans being canceled in Florida. And yet, hey, you know, this thing is going to be awesome. What do you think? Love your thoughts. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. Oh, and I got, here's an email from a listener. Says, Greg, I've been trying to get Obamacare for my parents. They are migrating legally. Okay? I sponsored them to move here. I went through the entire legal process. My dad has his green card. Tried to get him on the website for Obamacare. First time I set up the account, it emailed me the account was created. I tried to validate it, and it said, error, your account doesn't exist. Tried again a week later. This time I used the same email address. It accepted it, created the account, validated it. All right, couldn't log in. Next day I found out the login doesn't work on Google Chrome, so I tried IE. Another long application. I got tired filling it out. Some fields say they're optional, but doesn't allow you to proceed unless you enter it. Then it errored out. This has been going on for 2 weeks. We have still not signed up. In fact, we have still not got any information on how much it's going to cost. I'm an IT consultant. This is the worst website I've ever been to. Hey, look, he's working on it, okay? He's got the best and brightest going on it now. The best and brightest.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me talk with you. Let's get Sam in Daytona Beach. Sam, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp for Savage.
Hey, how are you? I was just calling in real quick, just in response to this whole, the Tea Party being related to the KKK. Actually, while I was on hold, I just did a little bit of research on it, just about how, you know, it was actually a military force for the Democrats back in the 1860s. And I don't know if you got a second, I can just read you a little paragraph about how, you know, just inform some of the people on how it started, if you got a second.
Yeah, we don't really. Reading on the radio is horrible. Well, listen, Sam, thanks. You're right. The Democrats were big time into the KKK. You remember Senator Byrd, the late Senator Byrd, Democrat, West Virginia. This is the guy that filibustered the Civil Rights Amendment, the Civil Rights Act. This is a guy who was a grand kleagle in the KKK, Democrat. The Republicans have been the ones from Lincoln on that have not been KKK people. But it doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter to these guys. Okay? It doesn't matter. Hey, let me get Emily in. Emily, we don't have time right now. I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off too quickly, all right? So listen, hang in there. We're going to get everybody's phone calls in. But I also got to get you this story about the TSA. The TSA has done such a great job at the airport that they're now expanding. They're going to start screening you even before you get to the airport. Wait a second, how does that work? Well, I'll explain exactly how. You might not like it too much. It's coming up on the Savage Nation. That's a pretty good thought. Pretty good thought there. Thank you, Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, maybe that would have been the way to start the whole thing. Well, come on. It's Monday morning quarterbacking. I mean, who would have thought hiring the best and brightest was the way to start? Well, we had to do the Canadian company because that way the Republicans couldn't subpoena them. And it's the Canadian company that 13 months ago was kicked off the job they were doing in Canada because, yeah, they couldn't get the website working on time. Oh! We hired him anyway. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. It's 855-400-SAVAGE to get in, 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm going to get you the story on the TSA screening you even before you get to the airport in just a second. But Emily on line 6 in Salem, Oregon, wants to jump in on what's going on with this Obamacare deal. Emily, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for I called to let you know that I'm really scared of Obamacare right now. I work full-time, 40 hours, and there is no leeway in my budget, even though I'm like, okay, I can balance my checkbook, unlike the government, but there is no leeway for insurance. And so am I going to have to just get a second job just for Obamacare? I'm scared.
So are you currently insured right now?
No, I choose not to get insurance through my employer because I cannot afford it. I'm supporting myself and my family member. And,
gotcha.
I make choices every month. Okay, I need gas for work, so I'm going to have to skip some meals, you know. But I will not be, you know, I want to work hard for, you know, for, I work hard, basically.
Sure, I understand. No, I totally get you. Emily, thanks for calling in. I wish I had great answers for you. I will tell you this. What we've got to do is a better job of letting people know what the options are on what could you do in the private sector right now with a health savings account that's tax-free, with a high-deductible, low-premium plan, catastrophic plan, so that only if you really have a very bad illness will you need it, and you can use the health savings account when you go to the doctor for something like the cold or the flu. These are the kind of things we could do to help people like Emily, where we could say if she makes too much to be on Medicaid but not enough to really take care of herself on all of this, why not give her the tax credit that her company is getting for her if they provided her the health care? Give her that money to go out on the private market and buy a catastrophic plan and allow her to use the rest of that tax credit to put in a health savings account to allow her to have some money to take care of her kids. You know, there's something else that's going on out there. There's these new programs now where doctors are using the internet through like Skype and FaceTime and things like that, where you can call them and chat with them through video and show them, yeah, my kid has an ear infection. It's got the, you know, this and that and the other. Okay, I can prescribe you that over the phone. It's waiting for you at your pharmacist. And instead of paying $100 to see the doctor, you just paid $20. There are places that are starting to do this. I mean, there are all kinds of ways we can do it. And yet what we're doing instead is throwing out all the good for the bad of Obamacare. Because, hey, some people from Obamacare are going to benefit. Yeah, not so great. All right, 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me throw this one at you, too, out of the New York Times. The TSA has done such a great job. I mean, what's the thing you look forward to most when you're thinking about traveling? Getting to your destination and relaxing on the beach? Maybe going to that special place for some skiing. Maybe you just wanted to, you know, go visit your in-laws. Wait a second. All right. Anyway, the thing that you're looking forward to the most is the TSA screening, isn't it? I mean, really, that's the highlight right there. Because the TSA has been so good at it that now they're going to start checking you in before you get to the airport. Huh? The Transportation Security Administration is expanding its screening of passengers before they arrive. They are searching the wide array of government and private databases, including things like your employment information, your car registration. Wait a second, what right do you have to do all that? It's the same right we have to track every single phone call you make. Same right we have to track every single email you make. Same right we have. And we just sit here and go, oh, well, it's for our safety. Oh, well, for our own good. No, you don't have the right to do this. By the way, I don't think it works. It's too much information. And we end up with all kinds of false positives. And I mean, they were trying to tell us,
well, you know, what we've been doing with the NSA and tracking your phone calls and tracking your emails, remember, it's just the metadata. But what we've been able to do is thwart some terrorist plots.
And when push came to shove and they went in front of the oversight committees, they had to admit under oath that really, the plots were not thwarted because of that at all. That after they already knew about these guys and were tracking these guys, then they also used some NSA stuff, but that's not really how they caught them. Do you remember that? That came out like a month ago. That didn't get much publicity at all. Because remember, think back to the Boston Marathon bombers. If the NSA tracking your phone calls, your emails, and your web content, if that really worked, why did we have to put the pictures of the Tsarnaev brothers up on TV like we put them on the side of a milk carton and said, hey, have you seen this guy? I mean, think about it. This was the guy the Russians told us about. These were the guys that our FBI had already talked to. And yet still, we had to put their pictures on TV and ask if you've seen these people. Oh, yeah, that program works great. Absolutely. So now they're going to start diving in to private databases to track you before you fly? And please don't do this to me. Please, I'm stopping you right now if you're dialing the phone. Do not be one of those people that, well, Greg, if you're not doing anything wrong, why would you mind? If you're not doing anything wrong, you should just be glad that they're doing this. No! Listen, if you follow that logic, if you're not doing anything wrong, we may as well just let the police randomly come in and search our house. Because after all, we'll catch a bunch of drug dealers that way. I mean, if you're not doing anything wrong, we ought to let the police search your car every time they pull you over. If we're not doing anything wrong, because there's this thing called freedom. There are rights that we have to be secure in our persons and our papers and in our homes, that we should not have our government invading our privacy with zero evidence that we've done anything wrong. It is not supposed to be a giant fishing expedition to try and see if they can find anything bad about you. That's not freedom. But we're like sheep now. Like, well, because of 9/11, we've got to let them do whatever they want to do. No, no, we don't. The agency says the goal is to streamline the security procedure. See, this is for your own good. We want to make it easier on you. If you let us do this, we might let you keep your shoes on. If you let us do this, we might actually let you bring a drink in. You see how they set it up? They make it so, so uncomfortable to fly that now you're willing to give up a lot to get a little bit of comfort back. Oh, I can keep my shoes on? Oh, all right. Well, then let me bend over for you. Oh, are you kidding? Come on. There's an extensive range of records that they can access. Tax identification number, past travel itineraries, property records, physical characteristics, law enforcement or intelligence information. All right, now, listen, law enforcement, intelligence information, sure. Physical characteristics, okay. But property records? Tax ID number? Private databases? Edward Hasbrock is a consultant to the Identity Project. He opposes this initiative. He said, I think the best way to look at this is it's a pre-crime assessment every time you fly. The default will be the highest, most intrusive level of search, and anything less will be conditioned on providing some additional information in some fashion. In other words, if you don't comply with what they want you to do, then they're going to crawl up you-know-what with a microscope every time you come to fly. See, you're going to be punished for not complying with everything they want you to do. And this is, hey, we're from the government, we're here to help. Hey, if you don't want to comply with us, you must be with the terrorists. That must be what's really going on with you. This is how we cow people into agreeing to whatever our government wants to do to us. You think maybe it's time for us to fight back a little bit? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you're in. Let me get Joe in on line two from Connecticut. Joe, my name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. You hit about every subject that I wanted to talk to you about. You're doing a great job. My thing is, when are we going to stop hearing the lies? You know, when is the American people going to wake up and stop hearing the lies coming from the White House?
Because, I don't know. I would say maybe 2016, but after the last election, I don't know. And who knows? We could end up with Hillary Clinton and more lies there. And, you know, and even with a Republican who says that they're not going to be lying. I mean, you know, this is the thing, Joe. We get this survey that came out.
that says over 50% of America wants everybody out of Congress and start over, but then you drill down into it, and they say, well, except for my congressman.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
We got some beauties in Connecticut, which I don't think anybody's going to vote for these guys again. But the thing,
I hope not. That's what it's going to take, Joe. Thanks for the call. It's going to take, you know, I saw an interesting piece, and I forget where I saw this earlier today. Apologize for that. But they said a bevy of Tom Cruise's. Yeah, Tom Cruise is running for office now. Did you hear that? Yeah, and when he wins, he's going to get up on a couch and jump up and down, and he's going to get all excited, and it's going to be awesome. I think he's actually going to do that in the White House. So Ted Cruz, there's going to be a bunch of Ted Cruz acolytes running this next time. Of people that say, you know what, that guy struck a nerve with me. That guy is standing up for our founding documents. That guy is standing up for the Americans who've had enough. That's a guy, you know what happened? You know what happened with Ted Cruz? Say what you want about him, but here's what you can't say. You can't say he said one thing and did another. He ran in Texas. I had the opportunity to meet him in Texas when he was running. I was down in Austin. There was an event my band played at. It was a political rally type thing for a weekend of Tea Party type candidates. And Ted Cruz spoke at it. And let me tell you something. What he said in his campaign speeches is exactly what he did in D.C. He said, if you send me to D.C., I will fight Obamacare any way I can. He did, didn't he? He didn't say, well, you know, I couldn't vote that way because the party leaders told me not to. He did, didn't he? He actually did what he said he was going to. And you know what? Whether you like him or hate him, you got to give him that, don't you? And as much as we complain that the politicians lie to us and say they're going to do this, that, and the other, and when they get up there, they don't do it, he says, this is what I'm going to do. He goes and does it, and the media hates him. And the Democrats hate him. And they're calling him every name in the book. That tells you he's doing everything exactly right. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. I got to get you this story about a police officer, a squirrel, a gun, and pepper spray. It's coming up in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Day today, kind of rough day. A friend of mine was given 6 months by his doctor, not to live, to sign up for Obamacare. It took 6 months.
Thank you, Jay. It is getting tough. It's getting tough out there, and we haven't even started rationing care yet. Wait till that. No, that's illegal. We can't ration care. Right. And when you run out of money, you ration care. We'll just call it something else. The IPAB people are going to call it. That's not an effective treatment. We're not going to pay for that. That's called rationing care. No. We're not allowed to ration care by law. We're just not going to pay for ineffective treatments. And we get to decide what's effective. But no, that's not a death panel. Come on. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. A policeman, a squirrel, a gun, and some pepper spray. I take you to Mountain City, Tennessee. Officer Jody Putnam was in the Dollar General store. And employees noticed a squirrel. They said, "Officer, can you help us?" And that's when Officer Jody Putnam sprang into action, took out his firearm, and shot at the squirrel. He missed. Wait. Rewind for a second. He did what? He took out his gun and tried to shoot the squirrel. Was the squirrel threatening lethal force? I mean, isn't that the only time you're supposed to be able to pull your own weapon as a police officer? Isn't it time to call, I don't know, maybe call the pest control guy? No, he was there to serve and protect, and he missed the squirrel. So, option two, pepper spray. Started pepper spraying the squirrel inside the Dollar General store. Carl Duffield was one of the customers at the time, and he said, "There were a lot of people who came out just like me, and they came out and they were coughing and hacking. It was comical. But I'm sure they didn't feel that way, the customers that came out. No, I'm sure they didn't." Now, in Mountain City, Tennessee, whenever an officer discharges his or her weapon, he has to file a report on that, has to alert their supervisors, and provide a written statement on why he or she fired his or her weapon.
Officer Jody Putnam, refused to file the report, so was fired. It's probably hard to file the report on shooting the squirrel. No information given as to the condition of the squirrel except that, quote, he was dead. Oh, poor little squirrel. You could just open the door and let the squirrel run out. Just put a little trail of nuts. Sometimes that doesn't work. I had a mouse get trapped in my car one time. My wife and I were on a trip to the North Carolina mountains, and we were driving up this mountain road, and all of a sudden a little mouse crawled out the top of our hood and walked across the outside of our windshield and went back down inside of our hood. We're like, what's going on here? We started calling him Harry, Hitchhiker Harry the Mouse. And so we pulled off at a little place where we could walk the trails, popped open my hood, and we put like a little cheese out, little breadcrumbs. And we went walking for like 3 or 4 hours. We get back in the car, we're driving up the mountain road some more, and there he goes walking across the front of our thing again. I'm like, come on, man, we gave you a chance to get out of here. He ended up getting caught in our air conditioning vent and dying. And that was a great smell. Oh. All right, I'm sorry. Let me get your phone calls. Let's start with Judy, WABC, line 6. Judy, you're in the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. This is Judy. I'm calling about the air traffic pre-screening.
Yes.
I was in Fort Lauderdale Airport yesterday, and I got to the security desk, and they said, oh, you're already pre-screened. I said, what does that mean? And they said, well, you can go through. You don't have to take your coat and shoes and belt off or anything. I said, well, why? Well, we don't know. It should be on your ticket. It's not. Well, is it permanent? Well, I don't know. Well, is it for all the airlines? Well, we don't know. And so I had never heard of it before until you talked about it.
That's interesting. Judy, do you mind me asking how old you are?
70.
That doesn't, because they said if you're over 73, you no longer have to take off your shoes, or maybe it's 75. So you're not that age, so no. That's not the answer. So, yeah, you're starting to figure out, well, what did I do? I mean, you didn't apply for anything, did you? You didn't pay an extra fee and go down and do your fingerprints and all this other kind of stuff to be a special traveler, did you?
No, I did not. No, I was.
That's very interesting, Judy. Thanks for getting in. I have no idea, and evidently they don't either. It sounds an awful lot like the Obamacare website. Well, how much is it going to cost? I don't know. What are my options? We can't tell you that the site's not working. Am I still going to be able to keep my doctor? Don't know. Same insurance plan? We don't know. The site's shut down. But you can call us. Will the person I talked to on the phone know? No. But you can call us. It's all working out perfectly now. I understand. It's, oh, man. Doesn't it get maddening? I mean, at some point, that's why at some point you just have to laugh. That's why sometimes we just have to tell jokes. That's why sometimes you just have to see how much whiskey's in the cabin. I mean, no, that's not what you do. Don't ever do it. Kids, don't do that. But sometimes you feel like it, don't you? 855-400-SAVAGE. We're going to get you these crazy economic numbers. The recovery's here, right? This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on The Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Don't forget, January the 2nd, Michael is moving to Drive Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, nationwide. January the 2nd, do not miss a second of it. Go to michaelsavage.com for more information on it, and you can join the program tonight at 855-400-SAVAGE. This hour, we got a lot to get into. I've got to tell you about this crazy story out of the New York Post today about mothers and daughters going clubbing together. And no, we're not talking about baby seals. I'll get you the story on in just a little bit. Then we want to get into this economic recovery story. Economic recovery. We got the new jobs numbers. I mean, we're into the fourth year of the economic recovery, and we are in big trouble. Meanwhile, John McCain may be running for Senate again. And the Russian bomb on the bus, well, yes, it's got a jihad tie. We'll get you all the details and a lot more this hour. Let's start with the mother-daughter clubbing. The Cougars are out. So it's a mom and her daughter, and this is like a new trend, we're being told by the New York Post, where moms and daughters will go out together and get wasted and dance on tabletops, searching for a man to hook up with. Or two. Ew. Well, see, it's all because we just want to be best friends. And you know, I, when I was young, I had my kids, and I didn't get to do the kind of clubbing that I wanted to do, so why shouldn't we go do it together now? I mean, I'm just a good friend of hers. We're best friends. We just want to bond. And, you know, bonding over going to dinner or lunch or getting a manicure together or going out shopping, that's so passe. We want to go clubbing. And we can go clubbing if we want to. No, nobody's saying you don't have the right to. Here's the thing. This is weird. Now, I think it's great that once you have raised your children to be adults, that you can slowly change the relationship from having to be the loving, disciplining parent into being more of a friend. Yeah, I get that. Now, the people that want to be their best friends with their kids when their kids are little, they don't have a clue about being a parent. You cannot be your kid's best friend when your kid is under the age of 18. You have to be the person that teaches them, that instructs them, that raises them up, that uses loving discipline to show them when they're wrong, to correct them, to be someone that is actually their role model that they should aspire to be like. You are their number one role model, and you've got to act like it. And they don't need a best friend. They need a dad or they need a mom. Now, once they're adults and they're out of the house or maybe they're in college or to move to that next level of the relationship, I totally get. And I don't think there's anything wrong with going out with your 21-year-old son or daughter to get a drink. But to go to the club, to get wasted, to hook up with guys? Really? What exactly are you teaching your 19, 20, 21-year-old? That's what's in this story from the New York Post, and it's online at michaelsavage.com. You can link up to it right there, michaelsavage.com. It says, mother-daughter duos partying until 4 a.m. in matching form-fitting pants and high heels. Amanda Peneduro, 19, and her mom, 49-year-old Alyssa, enjoy a recent night out. And mom's hot. Mom's a cutie. Mom's in good shape. Mom still looks good. But she's 49, and her daughter's 19. And she's taking her out, not just to have a cocktail and watch a band, which, by the way, she's 19, she shouldn't be doing it anyway, but to get drunk, to do shots, to find these guys that are going to hook up with. Nobody really knows she's my mother, says 19-year-old Amanda with a laugh. They're in black leather jackets, skin-tight pants, and sky-high heels. We have so much fun together. She's my best friend. We share everything, including my mom's prize collection. And I'm sorry, I'm not into fashion, so I don't know how to pronounce these bags and shoes, okay? I don't understand spending that kind of money. Listen, I drive a 94 Toyota Camry with 210,000 miles on it, and I haven't had a car payment in 10 years, okay? That's what I do with my money. So I have no idea about this fashion stuff, okay? But evidently they're wearing some very expensive clothes and some expensive bags or whatever and wasting their money. But they do draw the line at sharing men. A lot of times the same guy will try to hit on both of us. Ew! I mean, really, think about that. Your mom's 49, you're 19, and I bet your mom thinks it's great that the same guy's hitting on both of you. If we're lucky, we'll be invited to someone's table. In other words, then, you know, they'll buy us free drinks. She likes going out with a friend. She's very understanding. She's not super overprotective. No, I wouldn't think so. She's probably like, oh, yeah, you want to go home with that guy? Go ahead. Oh, yeah, you want to get drunk? Sure, go ahead. Oh, you want to let the guy do a shot off your belly button? Sure, go ahead. Oh, yeah, no problem. Don't worry about it. The pair are known to party until 4 a.m. Then hit the nearby Artichoke Pizza to refuel. And then they've been socializing so long since she was 16, and they're such regulars on the scene, she doesn't even get carded anymore. She's still underage. So what? Come on, lighten up. Why are you so uptight, Greg?
Come on. This is a good mother-daughter bonding thing. The mom's there. Nothing bad's going to happen. It's okay.
Isn't it? I am certainly not an uptight dude that doesn't think that people should ever have the right to go out and blow off some steam. But is this really how you want to raise your kid? Is this really what you want them to see you do? And then you're going to wonder why your daughter is in a relationship that was built upon drunk, one-night sex, and you can't figure out why she now has a sexually transmitted disease. Can't figure out why she got pregnant when she wasn't ready to. Can't figure out why she's emotionally damaged by men who use her like a piece of underwear. Can't figure out how all that happened. Can't figure out why she can't get in a long-term lasting relationship with someone that maybe she can share the rest of her life with. Can't figure out how any of that happened. Maybe this is how. Maybe this is part of it. Well, I mean, this is a trend. Don't you understand? You're way behind. You're like old man grandpa nap coming out. Come on, man. Listen, as the New York Post puts it, celebrity culture, reality TV, they have this all over the place. Bravo's Princesses, Long Island. It has a club-hopping duo of a mom and daughter. You got Madonna and her 17-year-old daughter, Lords. They've been at clubs in New York and abroad for years. You had the Gastineaus, the daughter and mom, famously partying on the reality TV show Gastineau Girls. And on and on and on. So now we've got middle-aged New York moms doing the same thing. It's all part of, come on. This is just fun. Is it? And is it good for the kids? Going out with my mother is like going out with one of the girls. She looks and dresses like one of us. Yeah, that's probably a problem too. She's a social butterfly. She doesn't judge me for what I do, nor does she police me. Yeah, well, shocker. Shocker. Let me get Travis in, line 6, KCMO. Travis, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, been for Dr. Savage.
As far as I'm concerned with the story you're talking right now, this is just a prime example of what the old farts used to talk about 20, 30 years ago about the hippie generation and its offspring coming to fruition. I mean, this is not anything surprising to me at all. It's like total mental insanity, or what's Dr. Savage called a mental disorder.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. This is, you could see it coming. Thanks for the call, Travis. I mean, you really can, from this whole idea of, you know, anything goes. If it feels good, do it. And if it feels good, do it, has not worked out so great for us. If you go back to when that expression first started, and you look at the sexually transmitted diseases and the number of abortions and the number of divorces and the number of suicides, and well, you know, people say, well, come on, it's really not that big a deal. The world didn't end. I love when people say that kind of stuff. Well, but you know what? There's a reason that the Judeo-Christian values that founded this nation have served it so well. There's a, you know, the people I know that aren't religious, and they say, well, I just never understood those Ten Commandments things and trying to tell me how to live my life. All these don't do's and don't do's and don't do's. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Why would I want to join a religion that tells me I can't do stuff? And what they don't understand is the same thing with why parents tell kids they can't do certain things. Right? I mean, the reason that God created these commandments about what to do and not do, and really all the commandments can be summed up in, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated, and you know, love God with your heart and soul and mind, is really this. The rules are there to help you live the best life you possibly can. Because if you follow those rules, you're going to have a better life. If you follow those rules, you're not going to end up sleeping with somebody's wife, destroying their life and yours, and maybe even getting shot. You know, if you follow those rules, you're going to have a much better life in every possible way you could. And that's what we do with our kids, right? We don't put, if you're a good parent, you don't put all kinds of rules on your kid to make their life miserable. The rules you put on your kid are to make their life better. Because you know, if they live by these rules, their life is going to be better. If you are explaining to your daughter, listen, I don't want you dressing like that because boys are going to get the wrong idea. It's not because you want to punish your daughter. It's because you want to protect her from the predators out there. You don't want her used and thrown away like a tissue after somebody sneezes. When you tell your son, don't get out there and get all drunk and drive, it's not because you don't want him to have fun, it's because you don't want him to die. And that's what the generation that is doing this mother-daughter duo partying has never really understood. The rules aren't to be mean, they're to help you. To help you live the best possible life you can. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. The economy, are we in the recovery? Wait till you hear the latest numbers on jobs and the data underneath it you need to know. We're going to hit it all to you in just a second here. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Problems are being caused by an unexpectedly large number of people trying to log on at the same time, which, you see, this is what happens when we don't outsource to India. Things get screwed up.
There you go. I mean, if we had just gone with, still problems with Obamacare's healthcare.gov website, and there will be for a long time. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor on the Savage Nation, and we got the economic numbers out. They're awesome. Oh, wait a second. No, they're not so awesome. 154,000 fewer women holding jobs in September than in August. Why is President Obama waging a war on women? I mean, this guy's in trouble. Look, the HispanicHealthcare.gov website is really messed up. So I don't understand why Obama hates Hispanics in America. And now Obama is waging a war on women with 154,000 fewer women holding jobs in September. What is wrong with this guy? And obviously he's waging a war on black people because black unemployment is higher than it's been in decades. He is just, I can't keep up with all the people that he hates. And 90.6 million Americans are not in the labor force. Another record. This is why you can have a horrible jobs record and still have unemployment going down. Because more and more people are simply dropping out of the workforce. This is a 24-year low for female participation in the labor force. Now, here's how the Bureau of Labor Statistics looks at it. They say if you are 16 or older, you're not institutionalized, and you have a job or have actively sought a job in the last 4 weeks, you're counted. So if you've not been looking for the last 4 weeks, you're not counted anymore. They count you as giving up. You're not in there anymore. So unemployment goes down even though you're not working. That's why you've got to look at how many people are actually participating to see how much this is really impacting our economy. 154,000 fewer women this month than last month holding jobs in the data. 90.6 million Americans not in the labor force. By the way, in January 2009, when Obama took over, there were only 80.5 million not in the labor force. 10 million more now. And remember, we've been in a recovery for the last 4 years. And this is what we've got from the recovery. This is not good. This is really, really bad. In fact, you look at what they expected. Once again, we're told unexpectedly weak job growth. Yeah. How many times can we have unexpectedly weak job growth before we start expecting it? It may be time to start expecting it. You know, Wall Street was expecting about 180,000 net new payroll jobs. Others were saying maybe 200,000. We got 148,000. Now, I don't want to go too far in the weeds on economic statistics here with you, but some of this is pretty easy to figure out. Every month because of population growth, we need at least 130,000 new jobs just to keep up with that. Now, to get back all the jobs that have been lost during the recession, we need to be averaging around at least 300,000 new jobs a month. This was 148,000. The average for the last year is only 185,000 new jobs a month. And 90% of the jobs, the new jobs in the last year, have been temporary jobs. Can you say Obamacare? I knew you could. But hey, unemployment is down to 7.2%. Again, because more people have dropped out of the workforce. For 5 years, we've been told it's Bush's fault. How long does that keep going? IBD has got it pretty good here. It says, look, Young Americans, especially minorities, still in the recession. Jobless rate for 18 to 29-year-olds, 11.2%. But for black young people, 20.9% unemployment. Why does President Obama hate black people? Can we get Kanye West up there? That was George W. Bush. Can we get Kanye to redo that one? Can we? I mean, if it was Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat, who said, if this kind of record for black people in America was done under George W. Bush, we would be marching on D.C. But because President Obama is black, we're cutting him slack. How many years? How long does it keep going on before people start finally holding him accountable? How many years? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
President Obama is urging Americans who are having trouble with the Obamacare website to sign up for health care by calling a 1-800 number. That's the, yeah. The number is 1-800. We didn't think this through.
Thank you. Coming in, yeah, a little bit more going on with the whole Obamacare thing. Now Sebelius is out saying to Sanjay Gupta on CNN that Obama did not know about the Obamacare website glitches in the beginning. She's falling on her sword for him. Oh, well, that makes me feel so much better. Then everything's okay. All right, doesn't matter that 300,000 people are losing their health care plans in Florida. 300,000. Well, you know, I mean, there's going to be glitches. There's going to be things that are going to take a while. Hey, this guy in Iowa got his health care through Obamacare's website. It only took him 100 tries. And another guy has been on the phone for 4.5 hours and can't sign up. But listen, these things take time. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE and michaelsavage.com. I was talking about these moms and daughters clubbing together, getting wasted and trying to hook up with guys. And is that really good for the relationship? I want to go to Sarah on line 3 at KSFO to talk about it. Sarah, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Hi. I hope my cell phone battery doesn't die. I'm on the road. I have to call in because, you know, I was one of those daughters. I mean, my mom and I didn't go out clubbing or drinking together, but she was a stoner mom. She was like a sister. She loved being a mom when I was a little girl. And as soon as I became a teenager, she just went into sister mode, and my dad wasn't around. And the amount of time in my adolescence that I said, yeah, it's cool, we can do that. My mom doesn't care. Yeah, sure, you can stay over. My mom doesn't care. Yeah, we can get stoned in the living room. My mom doesn't care. And when you're a teenager, you think it's cool. And I'm 31, and I've spent my 20s really, like, pulling myself out of a hole of I don't know how to describe it, but you kind of summed it up when you were saying, how are these girls going to learn how to have long-lasting relationships and not just get used and thrown away like a tissue? Like, I started crying. I was like, damn, dude, I feel you, because it took me a decade to really get to a place in my life where I feel like I've had to mother myself, and I've had to find a mother within myself to, like, teach.
I'm so sorry for you, Sarah. I mean, I truly am so sorry that you had to be your own mom, and you had a mom that I'm sure you feel didn't love you enough to give you the discipline and the support and the emotional tutoring that you needed, and that she set you up to be used by these men. Go ahead. I mean, because here's what I want to ask you on this is, at the time, like you said, you thought this was a great thing, and you thought your mom was just the coolest mom on the block, and it sounds like you've gone through quite a bit of emotional trauma because of that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and the irony is, I've always been a deep person, so unlike other kids I know who grew up the same way, who just spun out or ended up pregnant early or whatever, I've always really been into a lot of self-growth and inner work, and so over the years, I've really looked at a lot of stuff within myself, and ironically, even though my dad wasn't around, he was still in the picture. I just didn't see him very often. And he was a Christian. And when I was a teenager, I was like, yeah, Bible this, Jesus that, whatever. I'm going to get the phone and go party. And over the years, I've come to realize, as I've gotten older, I've seen how much my mom messed up. And I've had so much respect as I've gotten older for the wisdom and the structure that my dad tried to provide from far away. And it really, it's interesting. It's like, there's something in the Bible about whatever, not whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, but it's something like we're getting pruned or we're getting refined in the fire or something like that.
Yeah. No, he talks about absolutely being refined in the fire and about you have to prune the branches to get the best fruit. There's all kinds of metaphors like that in the Bible on how loving discipline makes you a better person, and that's what your heavenly father is doing, just like your earthly father is doing. There's no doubt. Sarah, so you've had this duality type of situation on parenting. What are you going to do when you have children? How are you going to raise them?
Well, it's funny because I've always, since I was a kid, really looked forward to the day that I have kids. And in a way, I'm grateful that I grew up the way I did because I got a chance to see all the ways of not doing it, you know, like all the worst things to do, and I know that I won't do that. And I also have so many friends who just ended up in the, oops, we're pregnant. Okay, I guess we better have a baby now. And that will never be me. My standards are so high. I will only have a family with someone who's going to be my best friend and my brother and my partner in parenting and my teammate for life who has those standards and has those values. And I will absolutely love the opportunity to cultivate really good discipline and structure and boundaries, but not from that place where a lot of people can do it from a wounded place where they want to make up for their parents' mistakes and then overdo it in the wrong direction. I would want to do it as consciously as I can where, like, kind of like the example you gave of saying, well, I don't want you to wear that out because it will give guys the wrong impression. And the importance of saying, here's the discipline and here's my explanation as to why it's important and why it's coming from a place of I love you, I'm trying to protect you, these are the lessons I learned the hard way, and I don't want you to have to either. And I've nannied so many different kids. I work with kids. And when you really just sit a kid down and explain, here's why I'm drawing this line and this is why it's good for you, they get it. They hear it. When they hear, no, because I said so, they go, yeah, whatever, and they do whatever they want.
Well, and it also depends on the age. But because at a young age, you can't explain everything. It really does need to be because I'm the parent. But as they get older, then you can really start filling them in on this stuff. And, Sarah, you're right. They want kids are dying to have somebody explain and tell them why they need to live their life this way and the loving discipline. Sarah, you're going to be great, and I appreciate you calling so much and opening up to us. Thanks for the call. You know, what I did before radio was mental health, and I did mental health for children and their families, and a lot of times for behavior problems. And if you ever saw the show Super Nanny 911, where the woman goes in there and helps the family learn how to discipline their children, that's what I did, except I did it in houses where you would say, wait, somebody lives there? Yeah, a really different type of situation. But when the parents wanted to do it, it worked. And I'll tell you, when I would go in and work with some of these kids that were totally out of control, in the first session, I'd start laying down boundaries, and I'd start enforcing them. And the next time I showed up at the house, the kid would run out and hug me. Literally. And I was the guy that laid down the law the last time. But they knew I cared about them because I built rapport with them. And that I actually really cared what happened in their life. And the reason I wanted them to behave was because it was going to help them in school and help them at home. They were at risk of being taken out of the house. They were at risk of being kicked out of school. But when you gave them that loving discipline, they responded to it. They need it. They're dying for it. You think you're being nice to your kid. You're not. Because once you do the loving discipline and they become somebody that is changing, and they're now a different person and they're living a different life, you don't have to discipline them all the time because now they get it. Let me get Steve in. Line 6. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well.
All right, good. Hey, I had a comment, just maybe a different perspective. I have an ex-wife that plays that role, the cool parent.
Oh, boy. Go ahead. I was just saying, oh, boy. Oh, we must have lost Steve. Yeah, he was saying, you know, and I've seen this so many times with divorced parents, where the parent that doesn't get the kid very often thinks, I don't want to be the disciplinarian because you know, hey, I don't get to see him very often. I want to give him everything. And then you end up with a horrible relationship. That's not how this thing was set up to be. I appreciate all the great calls on that. Thanks so much. Oh, hey, I wanted to get you this, too. Dick Cheney has a little book out, so he's out making the rounds. And he was on one of these shows, and he was asked about the Tea Party and so-called extremists and everything else. And he had a different take on who exactly is the extremist in Washington, D.C. Let's hear clip two.
I'm not unsympathetic to the frustration, I think, that's led many Americans to sign on for or become part of the Tea Party. I mean, I'm as frustrated as anybody else can be, but I think we have a situation where these circumstances in Washington, the inability of and the unwillingness of this administration to come to grips with our basic long-term debt problem, for example, the frustration out there is very, very high. And so, I, you know, when I see people talking about the Tea Party, I don't think of the Tea Party as extremist the way some of the folks in Washington would describe it. The extremist in Washington is Barack Obama.
The extremist in Washington is Barack Obama, says Dick Cheney. And now this must be driving the left crazy. I mean, I would love to be watching the face on some of the liberals in D.C., and some of the liberal anchors around America, as Dick Cheney calls President Obama the extremist in D.C. He's right, but the left thinks that Cheney's this huge extremist. Now, I have problems with Cheney and George W. Bush from some of their spending and some of the government programs they wanted to do and the way that they handled the Iraq War. And you know, sure, there's all kinds of things, but that was good. I would pay to see the face on some of these guys when they heard this. And he continued on why he's saying that Barack Obama is the extremist in D.C. Here's clip three from Cheney.
He's the guy that wants to fundamentally transform our health care system. He's the guy who's done enormous damage to America's standing in the world. To the extent there's an extremist or radical political view in Washington these days, I believe it's the President of the United States.
Boom. Boom. Oh, that's fun. That is good stuff. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage. I've got a story on illegal aliens saying they have a right to escalate their civil disobedience to force us to change our laws after they broke them. I can't make this stuff up. We'll get it to you in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name is Greg Knapp on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Saying that, if you are in need of health care, you have two choices. You can wait for them to get the site fixed, or you can enroll in medical school, graduate, and then just take care of yourself, which is probably right.
That might be quicker now. Thank you, Mr. Kimmel. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, or michaelsavage.com online. And this one just, it never ceases to amaze me that we have people who have come into our country illegally, breaking our law. When they get here, they then go work illegally to break our law. Many of them drive automobiles without licenses, which is against the law, and without insurance, which is against the law. Many of them take other people's social security numbers without them knowing it, which is against the law. And then they're complaining that we don't make them legal. What? And say they have a right to have a pathway to citizenship. According to Politico, immigration activist groups have declared they will launch a week of escalation this week to pressure lawmakers in Congress with acts of civil disobedience to pass comprehensive immigration reform this year. Here's what they really mean. Illegal alien advocates want amnesty, and they're going to break the law more to get it. What happened to this was the law of the land? I mean, I thought that's what the press and the Democrats said. Well, our immigration laws are the law of the land. That doesn't matter. We got to change those. Obama's already changed them. He's already gone around what the law of the land is on immigration. He went around Congress because they wouldn't do his so-called DREAM Act and created his own unilaterally with executive orders, which is constitutionally illegal. But it doesn't matter. So, wait a second. You came here illegally, and you think you have a right to break our laws even more and clamor for our laws to be changed when you're not even supposed to be in the country? Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Their goal is amnesty for 12 to 20 million illegal aliens. Now, here's the other part of this. Listen, I understand wanting to come to this country. If I was in China or Mexico or Zimbabwe or Greece or there's a lot of places that I would say I got to get to America. But we can't take everybody. And there's actually, you know, a way to do it legally. And there are millions of people around the world waiting to come here. They're waiting legally to come here. In fact, once again, Gallup just finished their survey, and the number one destination for people who would like to leave their country is the United States of America. The Gallup report. We have the United States, where 23% of the people around the world would want to go. Number one by far. The next closest one was the United Kingdom, with 7% of the people saying they'd want to go there. So as much as supposedly we're hated around the world, it's pretty interesting that people want to come here. And I get wanting to come here. And I don't begrudge them wanting to come here. But we can't take everybody. How is it fair to the people waiting in line? How is it fair to the people who have come here legally? How is it fair to the people who are here, who are U.S. citizens, who are working lower-skilled jobs to see their salaries and their wages go down because of what they can pay the illegal aliens? Well, there's this big push by Republican mega donor Paul Singer and George Soros, the liberal, to finance these groups to push for amnesty. It's because the Republicans want the cheap labor and the Democrats want the cheap votes. And some of these illegal aliens are stopping police and ICE from doing their jobs. They're surrounding the buses with illegal aliens on it and not letting them move forward. And they're saying, we're undocumented and unafraid, undocumented and unafraid. Well, they should be arrested.
Well, we decided we're not going to arrest them at this time. We're just...
Why? Well, don't you have any compassion? Why do you hate brown people? I don't care what country you come from. If you come here legally and you follow our laws, I wish you the best and hope you reach the fullest potential that God gave you. But if you come here illegally, I'm going to have to tell you it's time for you to go home and start over. It's just, how can you think that it's fair? This is about cheap votes and cheap labor, and the Republicans think if they cave in, somehow it's going to get them more votes. You know, Marco Rubio, who seemed to be siding with the Democrats on this, has come out and said now he's worried that they can really negotiate with Obama. Well, yeah, look, he's already breaking the current immigration law. How can you believe anything he will say on a new immigration law? It doesn't make any sense. He says, you know, Obama might agree to a path to citizenship for some of the roughly 11 million illegal aliens in the country and to enforcing immigration laws, only to cancel the enforcement component. You're starting to figure him out now, Marco. Yeah, that's what he would do. He's not even enforcing our current laws on this. So how can you believe anything that he will say for any kind of further negotiation on trying to take care of the problem with illegal immigration in this country? To me, why don't we just enforce the law, enforce our borders, go after the employers who are legally, willfully employing people? We have an E-Verify system that we can use and improve upon. And if you can't work here legally and you can't buy a house or rent a house here legally, then eventually you're going to go home. You know when we saw the biggest decrease in illegal immigration in this country? During the Great Recession. People were self-deporting. What do you think? I agree with Dr. Savage. Borders, language, culture is extremely important. Let me get Bob in, line 9, Liberal Kansas. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I believe they ought to just take and impeach Obama for not following the Constitution, recall all the senators that's not going by and abiding by their constituency. There's many polls, the consensus is nobody wants the Obama blunder. Nobody wants nothing to do with it, and look at the destruction it's caused.
Bob, thanks for the call. I'll tell you this. You know, I've seen a lot of liberals say, all these crazy people calling for impeachment of the president. Well, include Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst in Texas, by the way, who used to work for our intelligence agencies. So you can't say he's some kind of crackpot, loon, whatever. Here's the thing. If you start looking at where President Obama has violated his oath to office to uphold the Constitution and going around Congress on the immigration law, on Libya, on the recess appointments when the Senate wasn't even in recess and the court's now ruling against him. You know, you start looking at all these places where he's told his Department of Justice Attorney General to ignore the minimum mandatory sentences for drug offenses by not presenting all the evidence they have in court. These are all things that are illegal, that are violations of his oath of office. And when I had a congresswoman on the show and I said, you are admitting to me that you believe that he is violating the law in all these different areas? She said, yes. I said, well, then why aren't you guys doing something about it? Well, what can we do? Well, you could sue him. I mean, if you know, because you could bring up a constituent who has standing and help that person, or you could impeach him. Well, what good would that do? Because they wouldn't convict him in the Senate anyway. Well, it would focus America's attention on his lawlessness, and it would do what it did to Bill Clinton when he was impeached. At least it will get people focused on the problems here, because most Americans aren't even paying attention.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.